Let's open our Bibles this evening to Proverbs chapter 4, please. Proverbs chapter 4. The heart of the matter is the matter of the heart. What is the human heart? It is a combination of two things. The human heart is a combination of your spirit and of your soul. Every time the Bible mentions your heart, it's not just talking about your emotions. It's not just talking about your mind. It's talking about your spirit and your soul. Your soul is comprised of three things: your mind, your will, and your emotions. Your spirit is who you really are, right? That's a part of you that'll live on forever. From the moment you were conceived in your mother's womb, you became a spirit. You became a spirit. And that spirit will live forever. You know, my one consolation through all of the abortions, and I'm not speaking politically now. Now, I'm talking to you from my heart, and I'm talking to you from the Bible, from God's perspective. But from all these abortions, and I know, listen, God forgives all sins. God forgives the sin of murder. But my comfort is that all those unborn babies go straight to heaven to be with Jesus, where they are cared for eternally. You know, and I believe that, you know, moms who have repented and have sought the Lord's forgiveness, that they'll hold their children in heaven. And thank God for that hope. But we are spirits. That's the real us. We're not emotions. We're not intellect. We're not our will. We are us. That portion of us that when our body is left behind will live forever. That's our spirit. So the heart then is a combination of the real us, our minds, our wills, and our emotions. Okay, do we have that understood? So anytime we look at the word heart tonight, we're going to look at a few scriptures. It's going to talk about the real us, our mind, our will, and our emotions. And I'll break it down. So since we're here in Proverbs chapter 4, let's begin reading with verse 23. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Above all else, notice the word guard. Guard your heart. For out of your heart is what? The wellspring of life. Or flow, the King James Version says the issues of life. But in the original Hebrew, better translated is the boundaries. Are the boundaries of your life come from your heart? And your heart is comprised of what two things? Your spirit and your soul. Very good. All right, so out of our hearts flow the forces of life, the boundaries of life, okay? What it means by boundaries is we set, do you realize that God doesn't set the boundaries of our lives? We set the boundaries of our lives. We set what course our lives will take based on how we guard our hearts, right? We set those boundaries through education, through upbringing. If you were raised in a good Christian home, how many of you know that your parents and your home life set you on a course where you would experience more love, more peace, more joy, and you would not tolerate chaos, and you would not tolerate manipulation, and you were not tolerating? If you were in a healthy Christian home, the boundaries of your life, if your boundaries of your life were based on the Word of God, then you were set up for success in life, right? Now, let me say here, our family was Christian by name only, and my home life lacked a lot. So I was a pretty jacked up kid by the time I came to Christ, even though it was a very young age. Listen, I still dealt with a lot of issues in my heart, based on my upbringing, based on my home life. Because what part of us that 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, what part of us is the brand new creation? Is it our souls? It's not our mind and our will and our emotions, is it? What part of us is truly a new creation at the point of conversion when we give our lives to Jesus Christ? Our spirit, right? And then thus begins renewing of the mind. Well, what part does the mind belong to? Belongs to the soul, right? So I want you to see this. We, when we first became Christians, we had new hearts, we had new spirits, but we had old heads. The same old thoughts, right? The same will, the same emotions, that the emotions that were conditioned by experience, trauma, and hurt. Now, we're going to get a little deeper. Is that okay, guys? This is where the practicality comes in. Our souls were conditioned by experiences. If you had negative experience after negative experience, in my case, I had a broken home. And what I mean by that, there was constant arguing. I remember in my youngest childhood thoughts, in my remembrances, my parents threatening to divorce. Well, what do you think it does to a young kid when you hear both parents threatening to divorce? It breeds a lot of insecurity. Right? So can I ask you then, so how were the boundaries of my life set in my heart from that point on into adulthood? They were not good, were they? Now, thank God for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thank God for Jesus Christ. Thank God for salvation. Thank God for the light of God's word. Who would say amen to that? Because though the world is blind and struggles and they don't think there's a real solution, baby, Jesus Christ brings a real solution to all of our life situations. And he tells us it all lies in the heart, right? Out of the heart come the boundaries, the life forces spring, the life springs of your life. So out, the main point that I want you to see here, out of the heart proceed the boundaries of our life. It's not your parents necessarily that determine your future, the course of your future. Who determines the course of our future? We do. But see, then again, here we live in a culture where we play the blame game. We're more concerned about fixing the blame than we are about fixing the problem. Right? Well, it's the parents' fault. Well, it's the Democrats' fault. It's the Republicans' fault. President Trump's fault. Nancy Pelosi's fault. When we could go on and on and on, it's the state of Illinois. It's Cook County. Do you catch my drift? We can blame everybody. We can blame, who remembers Flip Wilson? The devil made me do it. Flip Wilson. What was his character? Geraldine. There you go. I knew there was a Dean there. All righty, so go with me to Matthew chapter 15. So far, so good? Is this a good subject? Thank you for those two yeses. Praise the Lord. Matthew 15. So out of the heart that is comprised of our spirits and of our souls, out of the heart determines the course of our lives, right? No matter if you had a bad upbringing, no matter if you've had came out of a broken home, no matter what, if you lived a life of the people that loved you, they lived out broken promises. You know, that can hurt a child very badly. You know, I don't claim to be the perfect parent by any stretch. And the older I get, the more I realize how much I blew it in many areas. You know, but how many of you know there is no roadmap for parenting? And we rely heavily on the grace of God, and we spend a lot of time on our knees for those kids. And how many of you would raise your hand today and say, they're grown and they're on their own, but I'm still on my knees. Amen? I'm telling you, babe. I'm telling you, that's where we at. No matter what background we come out of, when we get a hold of the Word of God, we can change the course of our lives. We are not destined to fail. We're not doomed to repeat what happened to us as kids. Can I hear an amen for that? To that. All right, so Matthew chapter 15, please. And verse 17. Do you not yet understand that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and is eliminated? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from where? The heart, and they do what to a man? Defile a man. Listen carefully. So the heart can make a person unclean and impure, right? That's what it says. A heart, a person's heart, can make them impure and can make them unclean. Look at the next verse. For out of the heart, out of our souls and our spirits, proceed what kind of thoughts? Evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which make a person or a man or a woman impure. But to eat with unwashed hands do not defile a man. Obviously there, he was talking to the Pharisees who were accusing the disciples of eating with unwashed hands. Okay, it's ridiculous. Jesus was going to the heart of the matter, right? Because what's the heart of the matter? The matter of the heart. Now, just interjecting a thought here. Have you noticed in the gospel stories that many people came to Jesus, and Jesus always cut through their chase. He cut through the fat, and he went straight to the heart, right? He went to the heart of the matter, because the heart of the matter was the matter of the heart. Okay, let's take Nicodemus. Teacher, I mean, understand, the Sanhedrin did not like Jesus. They were threatened by Jesus. And this man came by night. Why did he go visit Jesus by night? Yeah, he was afraid of the other guys kicking him out, right? Right? I remember one time he was a high school football coach, good friend of mine in Kansas, and he would come hang with me at night when his pastor couldn't see him coming to my house. I'm like, dude, you can go to your pastor. He's like, well, I want to come to you and talk with you. Okay, but he'd come by night so that he could keep it on the low. You know, nobody could find out that he was coming at night. So anyway, so he came to Jesus, and he begins to flatter Jesus. Oh, Lord, you're a great teacher in all of Israel. What did Jesus say? Oh, thanks, Nicodemus. You're an awesome guy yourself. What did he say? Nicodemus, you must be born again. Did Jesus kind of exchange pleasantries? Because the heart of the matter is what? The matter of the heart. Jesus didn't say, thanks, Nicodemus. He said, Nicodemus, you must be born again. Went straight to the heart of the matter. Okay? Or even like that woman at the well, you know, she's fetching water and Jesus takes her off guard because she's like, yo, you're a man. You're not supposed to be talking to me. I'm a woman. You know, women were subservient in that culture in Jesus' time. Did you know that? They were as good as property. That's it. That's right. And she mentioned that. She said, we Samaritans don't eat out of the same plate you Jews eat out of, right? I mean, they were hated. That was like a bitter racial divide. And so she was astonished that Jesus was trying to connect with her. And you are correct in saying you don't have a husband because you've had five husbands. Boy, he's reading her mail. Was Jesus shy to just stick his Jewish nose in her business? He was not shy. And he said, the one you're with now, you're just shacking up with him. I'm just bringing it to current. I mean, Jesus wasn't legalistic and nasty about it. He was loving, but he told her the truth, right? And she's like, oh, I perceive you're a prophet. Well, you think? So anyway, so Jesus went to the heart of the matter because the heart of the matter is the matter of her heart, right? Okay, so notice what Jesus said comes out of the heart. What the potential that can come out of all of our hearts. Now, we have to understand that, church, that in our heart also resides what the Bible calls the flesh, right? Now, Paul said in Romans chapter 7, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwells how many good things? No good thing. Zero. And Paul went on to say in the same chapter, chapter 8 rather, he says that those who live out of the flesh cannot please God. Right? Now, I thank God that the verse there in Romans 8 didn't read like those who struggle with the flesh. How many of y'all know? Well, I'll admit, I struggle with my flesh every day. Now, some days are easier than others. And, you know, I just have to, I know what my weaknesses are, and I just have to make sure I'm detached or don't put myself in a situation where I can be in a compromising place to test my resistance. Only dumb people test their resistance. That's a good nugget, isn't it, sweetheart? So let's look at the potential of what can come out of our hearts. Evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. Okay, so let's say we didn't really plot of physically murdering someone, but have we ever harbored hate or struggled with ill will towards somebody else? Isn't that what John said in 1 John? He said, if you have hated your brother, you have murdered him in your heart. And what did Jesus say about adultery? If you look upon a woman to lust after her, you have already committed adultery with her in your heart, right? So out of these things, the potentiality of our hearts come from these things. Okay, go with me to Matthew chapter 12, please. And we want to look at verse 33. Notice Jesus is going to compare our hearts to trees. He's going to compare our hearts to trees. Therefore, I say to you, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad, for a tree is known by its fruit. Now, in verse 33, who makes the tree good and who makes the tree bad? Does God make the tree good? Does the devil make the tree good or bad? Who makes it good or who makes it bad? We do, right? He was talking to the Pharisees here. He said, either you make your heart good or you can make your heart bad. Right? And how do we do that? By the choices we make. Little choices. And it's just crazy. So what we see here then is that we control what kind of persons, what kind of hearts we're going to have, right? Are we going to have a good heart or are we going to have a bad heart? Are we going to allow evil thoughts to proceed in our hearts? Because how many of us know that if there are evil thoughts recurring in our hearts and our minds, it's not going to be very long before we add words to those thoughts, and then all of a sudden people will be aware of what flows from our hearts in abundance, right? Jesus said here in Matthew chapter 12 that out of the abundance of the heart, in verse 34, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth shall speak, right? So we make the tree good or we make the tree bad. Now, how can we make a tree good and how can we make it bad? My question is, what do we consistently read, watch, listen to? What do we consistently read, watch, or listen to? What do we expose our spirits to? What do we expose our thought life to? How many of you know that the enemy can take images that you've encountered in the past, and then all of a sudden, you know, they're coming into your heart and your mind? I had a worship leader. She was a gal. She was married. And I had a heart-to-heart talk to her. She went to go watch Magic Mike on the theater. And I said, what were you thinking? What? Oh, it's not a big deal. I said, yes, it's a big deal. And some ladies were like, well, it's all entertainment. Well, maybe to you that's all entertainment. What you're doing right now is you're giving the enemy ammunition for the future. Am I right? And how many of us know that the enemy is clever enough, he doesn't need our help in his efforts to undermine us and sabotage our gospel efforts, right? So anyway, so to the point here, we can make it good by what we constantly expose ourselves to and what we constantly take in. You know, I'm very guarded as to what kind of TV programming I watch. I don't watch Modern Family. I don't watch a lot of the programs. You know, really and truly, I watch SportsCenter. That's pretty safe. I watch the news on occasion. I don't watch it as often as I used to. I really don't care much. I know who's in office, and I know who doesn't like him and all this stuff. I don't have to go beyond my Facebook news feed, and even that gets old at times. But you know, I'm very selective as to what I watch. Now, we're free. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. So stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made you free. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. Notice what it says here. For a tree, in verse 33, the last phrase, for a tree is known by its what? A tree is known by its fruit. Is a tree known by its leaves? No. A tree is known by its fruit. There was one account. Listen, this is going to be a profound thought, and it just came to me now. Thank you, Lord. I need to use this. This is really good. There was one account where Jesus, looking at the leaves of a tree, thought it had fruit. When he walked up to it, it had no fruit, just leaves. And what did he do to the tree? He cursed the tree. And the next day, it was withered from its very roots, right? So let me ask you a question. How many of you, we have to make a distinction in a person's life between their leaves and their fruit. And, you know, out of the clear blue, we were just having a good time at a Mexican restaurant. And, you know, she asked the question. She said, Dad, how do you know if a man really loves you? And I said, girl, is there somebody in your life? First thing out of my mouth. I kid you not. Anyway, so, you know, I had some thoughts and I asked Callie. I said, Callie, you know, would you say that these characteristics are indicators that a man loves a woman? She said, yeah. I said, what about thoughtfulness? Consistently. And the operative word in all the attributes that I shared was, Gabby, the man has to consistently respect your boundaries. A man has to consistently tell you he loves you. A man has to consistently, better yet, show you he loves you by patience, gentleness, understanding, support, words of affirmation, words of encouragement. Come on, church. Am I telling the truth? Am I telling the truth, darling? And consistently, you know, give to you, make you feel better, that after you spend time together, you feel better about yourself rather than feeling worse after having been with him. Anybody in the house? Right? And so basically what I was telling Gabriella, look at the fruit, don't look at the leaves. So what is it that, listen, if somebody has a sign that points at a tree that says pear tree, but the fruit hanging from that tree are apples, is the sign accurate? But think of how many people put signs pointing to their trees that contradict, their sign contradicts their trees. So what are we to do, church family? Are we supposed to be people that produce beautiful looking leaves? No. Jesus didn't say by your leaves they shall know you. They shall know you by your fruit, by your actions. Not by what you say you are, not by what you think you are, but by what you consistently do through your life. All right, how many of you were blessed with the teaching of the word?